Hi listeners, today is another day of A Political Point of View with Graham Priest. Today's guest is Tim Costley, MP for Otaki. Congratulations, Tim. It's the first time we've had a chat since you've been elected.
Yeah, thank you very much.
You had a good majority.
Yeah, really encouraging and quite humbling in a way to see that really strong majority come through. So,
well, you actually worked your butt off, didn't you?
Yes, worked hard for it. Nothing comes easy in life, but you know, you still never can be sure how it's all going to unfold on the day. And I'd said I was optimistic but not confident, and I'm really grateful for the support I have. It's really encouraging to see the support, but it also gives me a sense not just of gratitude but also responsibility to go and deliver on what people put me there to do.
Okay, how did you find this election as compared to the last one?
Oh, goodness.
Apart from the result.
Yeah, the result was a lot better. No, it was, in some ways different, in some ways not. At a local level, you're just working really hard to earn that support and on the issues that matter to the people in our community. And in some ways, it didn't change. You know, I knocked on, it was less last time. I think it was about 7,000 doors last time because of COVID. It meant there were times that we couldn't, but this time was about 10 or 11,000 doors. Actually, the response on the doorstep is the same. People have always been grateful that I've taken the time to come and talk to them.
So what was the result different?
Well, I think you see the culmination of 4 years of work. So that's now 18,000 doors I've knocked on, not seven. I worked really hard in the community over 3 years. I didn't give up after the last election. I think people really respect that. I think people want someone that's going to work hard, and you can't fake it for 3 or 4 years. You might be able to do that for a few weeks, maybe even a few months if you're really good. But I think, you know, the last few years, the feedback I've had is that people saw how hard I worked, how I was genuinely committed. And I've had the same feedback since the election. People that say, oh, geez, you keep working like you did in the campaign. It wasn't just for show. No, this is me. I love to be out in the community and working with people.
Okay, so what areas was there a big swing? Well, was it overall?
Overall, there's a bit of a swing, but you'll notice that we won every township this time. Last time, we didn't win Foxton, Levin, or Otaki. This time, we did. And we once again won Waikanae and Paraparaumu and the rural areas. So the northern half, we made some really good progress. We worked really hard up there. That was really intentional. And again, had really good feedback, and having that consistent support across the electorate is what made the difference, I think, this time.
How are the meetings?
The public meetings?
Yeah.
They were interesting. Some of them, like we finished with one run by the Rotary, really well run. You have a whole range, and some of them got a bit more vocal. There were particularly people that I think there were some different groups that turned up, parties that we hadn't had before. Some of them were more vocal than others. But I just, my approach was I went to all of them. There were only two candidates, myself and ACT, that actually turned up to every meeting. But I went to all of them because I thought it was important and just answered the questions as they were put to me. And I think people appreciate that.
The ACT MP was actually a very strong candidate, but he didn't really stand a show.
I'll let you make your own judgments, but I've known him for a couple of years, and he was, I think openly supportive of me as a candidate, but obviously campaigning for a different party.
I think you probably saw the writing on the wall.
But well, look, I worked really hard, and I intend to keep doing that.
He was a very capable candidate.
Yeah, and look, I certainly worked really hard in the hope that it would put us in a really strong position, but now I intend to keep doing that as your MP, so we can actually make a difference in this area.
One thing that I did notice this time, none of the billboards had contact numbers or email addresses. What was the reason for that, do you know?
Oh, they never have. They didn't the time before either.
Previous years they have done.
No, not on those ones, only on the ones for an MP. So if you're used to seeing Nathan Guy sign up, you know, it would say, here, contact my office. But on our ones, certainly I can only speak for 2020 and 23, but in neither of those do we have contact details on those. But all my ads and newspapers and flyers that went in letterboxes, the business cards and the things I dropped off every house I knocked on, they all had my contact details. So, I don't think people had an issue tracking me down based on the number that did.
No, you were very obvious, but some of the others weren't.
Yeah, and look, everyone's going to run it their own way. My way is to be out there and to be available to people.
How do you think being an MP is going to affect your family life?
It's an interesting one to think about. I mean, in some ways it will, in some ways it won't. And the most obvious ones are the ones that probably won't. The fact that I'll be in Wellington, you know, I'll be away 3 or 4 days a week in Wellington and the odd other thing around the country. That's actually not a change for us. I've spent a lot of time away with the Air Force. We're actually in that routine already. So that's pretty normal for us, for Dad to be away from home quite a bit. The bit that's different is the fact that everywhere we go, you know, you pop down to the market on a Saturday, you pop down to the shops, it's hard to do it. Even just trying to walk in here from the car park to here, I got stopped by 3 people, you know, that wanted to have a chat. And the kids every now and then are like, come on, Dad, we want to go. You said there was only one more stop. And, you know, so it's the little things at a local level rather than the big things, I think, that'll make the difference. And for us, it's a bit difficult this year, but next year we really want to get into a sustainable rhythm where we can just set aside a bit of time each week for us as a family to hide away, you know, pull up the drawbridge and have our family time so that we keep those relationships strong to get us through all the other challenges that come our way.
Okay, because your kids are really now at a very impressionable age, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all at school, and I mean, I guess all of those school years, you know, right through from sort of 5 to 18 are pretty important. I mean, they all are, really. And that was the biggest thing we talked about before we made the decision to do this is, you know, there's a real cost for the family in this. And not a lot of people see just how much it is and how much pressure it puts on both my wife and the kids. So, yeah, but we believe in what we're doing enough that we think it's worth it.
Okay. How do you think the kids are going to cope with having a father as an MP at school? Are they going to get picked on or bullied? I was in the same class as in primary school as the daughter of our local MP. And it honestly didn't make any difference, but times have changed radically since then.
Yeah, it's interesting. So far, it's been really good. I mean, our girls have friends and nothing sort of changed for them. It's not that different. And at school and in person, everyone's good. The bit that probably would concern me more is not what people do in person. It's more the online side of things and what they get exposed to there. We're pretty careful in how we manage online presence and profiles, particularly for our children. That would be more of a concern, but so far it's been okay. Look, growing up, my dad was the senior master and then the deputy rector at the high school that I went to.
So you would have had exactly the same thing.
So I had, and he was in charge of all the detentions. So I heard everybody's opinion on Dad, and so I have some insight into what that's like. But I'm sure there'll be extra dimensions for those kids.
Okay. So what's happening in the party at the moment?
Well, the focus right now, for me, the first 3 weeks was all about induction, and now it's about setting up the induction. Do you know what? It was really well run. Parliamentary Service, I actually take my hat off to them. They ran a really professional induction. And for our group, a large group, 23 new national MPs coming in, it was fantastic, and we engaged, we threw ourselves into it. They take you through everything from, you know, this is how the select committee works. You have a practice sort of debate in the House, and they take you through all the different things, and people from each sort of subject area come and take you through. It's just the workings of Parliament. So it's not how to be a good local MP. It's here's how to navigate the processes and the procedures that happen in Parliament. And it was really well run, and I'm really grateful to the staff that did that. And then the other bit that happens in parallel down there is the sort of the National Party induction, which was also really great. We had different MPs speak to us and just share that how National approach things, what ours will be. Obviously spent quite a bit of time with the leader and soon-to-be Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, you know, our Deputy Nicola Willis and other senior MPs to get their sort of take in their direction. And we were still waiting for special votes at that time, so there were a few people with us that didn't know if they'd hang on to their seat or not, or would they come in the list or wouldn't they. So it's a pretty difficult time for them. while the rest of us were there just pretty, you know, relieved to have got over the line. So a great induction process. But the other half of what we're doing right now for me, out in the local area, I mean, that first week I was driving back up from Wellington at night to come and attend the business awards and different community events. I've been out and about in the community. It kind of feels like the campaign hasn't stopped in some ways because we're just working hard, but also trying to set up offices, recruiting a team to work alongside me so that we can be more effective in the local area.
Okay. Are you going to have a local office?
Yes. We'll have one in Kapiti and one in Huruwhenua. Still working through that. I sort of have gone and looked at almost every building I can find, but Parliamentary Service in Wellington are the ones that actually take out the lease and hire staff. So it's sitting with them at the moment, and I'm hoping there'll be progress this week.
Well, it's a bit unfortunate because the old office is demolished.
Yeah, it's gone now. Apartment building's going up instead. So it won't be there, but I'm trying to find somewhere really central and accessible for people.
There are a few buildings, but are they at earthquake risk?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Parliamentary Service have is, you know, 34% of the MBS is their standard. So that rules out one or two, both up in Huruwhenua and down here. And then I've basically taken everything I can find, sent it to them to go and, you know, compare it to their standards, and then they'll hopefully come back this week with an answer.
Yeah, the other thing that's pretty critical nowadays is, has it got parking?
Yeah, so part that's, like I said, accessibility is really important to me. Is it near public transport, for example? That would be really helpful if at least a bus goes past for people. Parking, you know, but also, you know, I've been really clear that while the location won't be perfect for everybody, I'm going to travel to people. I don't expect everyone to come and see me. I'm going to run clinics in Paraparumu, Waikanae, Otaki, Foxton, Levin. So I'll be out in the community on a regular basis as well. So those that can come to me, that's great. Those that can't, I'll come and find you anyway.
It's quite interesting, the growth in the area around Foxton. We spent a Sunday there quite recently, and I was quite astonished at the increase in traffic and the number of people around.
That's a great area. I spent a lot of my holidays there growing up, and I've tried to spend a day a week, not you know most weeks, up in Foxton. I'm there again this week, and yeah, really looking forward to doing a lot of work in that area.
Okay, so you won't have got your committees and that sort of thing organised yet, but what interest do you have in particular?
Yeah, so ultimately I'll get told what select committee I'm on. I'm hopeful that if I do really well, I might get on two, which should be great. There's some obvious ones that would work well, like foreign affairs, defence and trade, and my sort of defence and foreign affairs background can be really helpful in that area. That might be one that naturally I'm aligned to. Another one I've expressed a strong interest in is health, not because I'm I've joined up with someone like Vanessa Wienick from Banks Peninsula. She's a doctor, so it's hard for me to say I'm more qualified than she is to be on the health select committee, but health is one of the biggest issues for us around here, and I want to make real progress. I want tangible progress for our healthcare at a local level, and so that's why I'm keen, and if I don't get onto the health select committee, it's going to be a strong focus for me in any case. So there's two, and then there's things like transport and infrastructure, because that's still an issue for us, particularly when we think of the northern part of the electorate.
True. It's quite interesting, the health system in New Zealand compared to other places. I don't know if you've ever watched a thing called Island Medics,
It's
based around a hospital in the Shetland Islands.
Oh, yeah?
Their total population is 22,000. Spread over quite a large area and a number of islands, and yet that hospital can deal with orthopaedic operations. They've got MRI, they can do gastroscopies, they can do quite a number of operations for 22,000 people. So what the heck is wrong with us?
Well, The answer to me isn't, you know, it'd be foolish of me to stand here and promise a hospital, because I know I can't deliver that in the next 3 years. But I do think we can do more in our community, and whether that's delivering things like chemotherapy, which doesn't need to be delivered every session in a hospital and make people drive an hour each way, you know, where they could have support around them at a local level. There are some sort of minor day surgery. I think MRI is something that we'll see more of in our area, but also expanding on what's available closer to home. Obviously, they've had some challenges down at Kenepuru Hospital. And I think that's, you know, there's lots of little bits. When we piece it all together, we can provide a much better service to our local community.
Well, basically, the current system is inefficient and it doesn't run well, and it could do a lot better.
And I agree with that. Wait lists have just blown out, you know, up to 10 times what they were 6 years ago. We absolutely have to tackle the wait lists. We absolutely have to tackle the workforce shortages, severe workforce shortages, and that's why you'll see a strong focus from us on training more nurses, midwives, doctors, and retaining them in New Zealand. And the third part of that is around preventative care, so that we stop things needing to get to that escalate to that hospital level. So whether that's your sort of your measles, mumps, rubella, getting that into kids at a young age so that we don't have these outbreaks like we've had with the recent measles ones, things that didn't used to be a problem 6 years ago in New Zealand. I think we've just taken our eye off the ball a little bit. We've become focused on just one or two issues in health and maybe to the detriment of other areas.
Well, after working a lifetime in the health industry, my opinion is that the health system in New Zealand is not actually a health system, it's a sickness industry. And to me, that's the wrong focus.
Yeah, I've heard that feedback from others. I think preventative care, you know, you see Dr. Shane Reilly as our health spokesperson was really big on preventative care. The first announcement.
Very capable.
Yeah, and the first announcement we made, which was actually more than a year ago leading up to the election, was about extending that breast cancer screening age, because we know that we can tackle some of these issues earlier. We see Australia doing better than us in a number of areas where we don't need to be falling behind. I know we don't have all the money they have, but we do have the ability to deliver better outcomes.
It's the same with
bowel
screening.
Yeah, so there are a number of ways. And look, I'm excited to see who becomes the Minister of Health, and I'm pretty
well. You've got some pretty good candidates.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
So it'll be a very interesting thing. Okay, you've got to leave early, I believe.
I'm heading off to see the mayor up in Levin today, which will be great. That's my next appointment. And then I've got a few other things around Levin before I head.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch up with you early in the new year.
I'm looking forward to it. Can I just, this will be my last time, I guess, on Coast Access this year then. So thanks for having me today. Looking forward to regular catch-ups next year. And just want to wish everyone a slightly early but Merry Christmas and a safe and enjoyable summer.
Thank you, Tim. Really appreciate your time.
Not a problem.
This has been another session of A Political Point of View with Graham Priest. Today's guest, Tim Costley, National MP for Otaki. Thank you for listening.
Political Point of View was made with the assistance from New Zealand On Air for radio broadcast and through the accessmedia.org.nz website. Thank you, New Zealand On Air.